When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode this week. Make sure to catch last week's episodes with John Franklin Myers, Brad Spielberger, and Vinny Pasquantino. Another exciting episode is camp's like 3 or 4 days away here from the Jets finally getting back into football. The Yankees ruined my entire weekend, so we're excited to talk a little bit more ball. Jets, former All-Pro punter, back with the Jets now for another second go-around. Thomas Morstead. Thomas, how are we doing today, man?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to have you on. We always like the specialist on the pod. Justin Hardy came on, did a great job. So we might as well keep the train rolling here.
Love it.
Obviously, you know, initially, how's the offseason been? You know, are you excited to kind of get back and rolling here and get a second go-around here in New York?
Yeah, it's been great. Enjoyed getting up here for OTAs, you know, getting work with Thomas and Greg and, you know, just getting familiar with everybody again. All that time really matters. But yeah, it's been a nice break this summer. Just went on vacation with the family and, you know, recharged the batteries a little bit, but you know,
you're getting up there in your career, man. You're in year. What are you in year? 15. My math's not my best skill set.
That's all right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy how time flies. And yeah, I think Kevin Huber just announced he's retiring. Who's in my draft class? So I think that makes me the oldest punter in the league now. I need to go.
Right, there we go. We're gonna
check on that.
Still kicking bombs. You know, obviously everything that I was kind of curious, obviously, you know, we'll talk a little bit about kind of this year and things of that nature. You go back, obviously you've been a part of a Super Bowl winning, you've been in contenders, you've been a part of the, you know, you've won a Super Bowl, like you've seen it all. What is there a different level of expectation coming into a camp knowing this team's got a chance to do something special? Do you get a little bit more fired up? Do you feel a difference going into a camp where you're like, this team's got a shot versus maybe being in a rebuild or a team that like everything has to go right to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think experience wise, you know, I definitely think of like tempering expectations. I'm not saying that to fans, but more from the standpoint of ourselves. You know, there's nothing better than being a team that's expected to do great with an underdog mentality, right? So you just have to guard against that. Obviously, you know, there's some things that have happened this offseason, different additions, and bits and pieces from last year's team where there's some legitimate excitement and expectation, but none of that really matters. I've been on teams that I thought we were going to be awesome and we weren't, so I think we just collectively inside the building have to temper that and, just kind of lay our own foundation this year and develop our own identity. Still got to go through all this, the processes to get to the top of the mountain. You know, you don't get dropped off 1,000 feet from the summit and do it, right? You got to start up from scratch. And I think if everybody has that sort of mentality, you know, we'll have a shot to maximize whatever we can be.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page here. I think at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of expectations, but you want that. You want to go into a year knowing people think you're going to be good and internally feeling like you guys have a shot, you know, going into it. You obviously, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers coming in and a little different situation than last time you're here. I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to harp on that, but obviously the expectations are a little different. The quarterback room looks a little different. You know, playing with Drew Brees for a long time, you know, you play with Aaron Rodgers. What's that like having that kind of superstar quarterback in the building? Obviously, you've been, you know, been on some teams where maybe it's a guy trying to prove himself or a young guy. How different is it having that proven veteran, you know, a quarterback as a roster? Is that, is it just the comfortability it provides the rest of the roster?
No, I would say it doesn't provide you comfortability. I would say the opposite. I would say that, you know, all the pieces that it takes to be great, you know, if the stakes are higher, I guess the best way to say it, right? You know, if you think that there's a chance to take things as far as they can go, the stakes are even higher for everybody. So I would say there's less comfort. There's going to be more of a heightened expectation for each individual with regards to how they do their job and complimenting the teammates that they have to compliment for all of us to be successful. You know, I look at, you know, the year we won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, you know, there was a lot of great special teams play that happened that year. And I think against the Vikings, we forced 5 or 6 turnovers in the NFC Championship game. So it's not just, you know, you need your quarterback to play great, but you need everybody to play great. And I know in, you know, when Green Bay won their Super Bowl, their NFC Championship game, you know, special teams performance against Devin Hester was like insane. Like, it was so good. So at the end of the day, if we want to get to where we want to go, like, you know, not one player or, you know, person is going to, you know, magically get us there. It's going to take everybody feeling like their job is going to be the difference in each game. And as the season goes along, I think if everybody prepares the right way and is, you know, has that sort of mentality, then, you know, the breaks will go our way. You know, yeah. Luck favors the exceptionally well-prepared. So hopefully that's what we'll be.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. I want to ask you about two guys who have had incredibly high praise for you when they've either been on my show or been on, you know, talked about you. Justin Hardy, obviously, who's on the Jets now. You know, you were with him in New Orleans. You've obviously been with him here. You'll be with him here in the Jets. And then Mike Westhoff, who, like, nonstop, he's on that pod. He's like, the Jets really fucked up. I can't believe they let Thomas go and all that different type of stuff, obviously, you know, being back now. And it's pretty cool Mike's actually coaching again, which is great to see, obviously.
Yeah,
it's what he does best.
We'll see them week 5.
Yeah.
I got that circled.
I was talking a lot of trash to him over text, so I'm sure you got to back it up for you. But what's it like getting kind of either teammates and other coaches? Is that something that you allow yourself to kind of step back? You know, you're in year 15, you've accomplished a lot. Is that something you can step back and say, like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, guys that are Pro Bowl, all pro level players, and coaches that are guys that, you know, Mike Westhoff is renowned as a special teams guy, you're going to find have that much high praise for you.
It means a lot. You know, it's, you know, I think every player as their career goes, you know, if you'd ask them, what would they value that you can't quantify? And I would just say, if you had the utmost respect from guys that you played with or worked with, whether that's how you treat them, the expectation as far as the bar that's been set, you know, all those things. And I think that respect and admiration from guys that are the best in the business at what they do, that means more than almost anything, really, because those are the things that, you know, all pros dissipate, guys retire, life goes on, but those relationships that you build and you do special things with those people, you know, the punt team we had in 2017 and 2018 in New Orleans with me and Mike Westhoff and Justin Hardy was about as damn good as you'll ever see. We were dominant. And so, you know, we get to hold on to that. We all did that together. And it doesn't mean we're not trying to do something even more special moving forward, but it's definitely something you can look back on with a sense of pride.
Yeah, no, I know you. I pretty much know how you're going to answer this because you seem like a selfless guy. punt return gets returned for a touchdown. You put that on yourself every time, or is it like, do you like, because everyone's going to blame the natural person would say, oh, this guy missed the tackle or whatever. There's a lot more to it. You know, if a punt is enough hang time, if you don't place it in the right spot, if you have a, you know, a certain thing, like, do you blame yourself if any time gets, you know, brought back?
I don't know if, you know, you could blame anybody for any error on the play, right? So you could, I guess you could put an algorithm together and figure out who had the most blame. But at the end of the day, right, it's like a kickoff that's returned for touchdown. I mean, if the kicker kicks it far enough, there's no play, right? Or if a punter punts the ball out of bounds, doesn't matter what the hang time is, doesn't matter what anybody else did on the field, the play's over. So, yeah, I mean, there's a share of blame that can go into anything. And you know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's already happened. You got to assess, you know, what was being asked of everybody. Are they doing that job the way they've been asked? And if they are, you know, every now and then you get your butt kicked. That's just, I mean, those guys get paid too. Just the way it goes. So, but yeah, I mean, I think there's a balance with all that. I think great players always look to themselves first and say, what could I have done better? I don't know if that's a way of saying assigning blame, but it's, you know, I think the great players, they immediately look to themselves and they figure out, all right, what did I do wrong? What wasn't as good as it could have been? And there's always something, there's always some fat to trim off that meat, you know? So, so that's how I look at it.
Yeah. Given your gunners a chance to go out and make a play is obviously always kind of, you know, crucial and everything like that. Obviously, probably, I would assume for you, probably the most prideful moment of your career, you know, onside kick in the Super Bowl. Did you, I'm sure you've talked about this a million times. Did you like, were you nervous at all? Like, this is a huge moment in the game. Like, this could swing our chance to go in a Super Bowl. Obviously, it did. Or were you just like, I've done this a million times. I've practiced this my entire life. Like, we're going to nail this.
No, that would have been a lie if I'd have said that because I had not done it a million times. I'd practiced a bunch the weeks leading up to the game, but you know, I was a rookie. I was kicking off for the first time ever. I never kicked off in college, so I'd never hit an onside kick in a game, especially surprise. And so, yeah, everything about it was new. And if there's one thing I'm not good at, it's lying. Not good at lying to myself. Not good at lying to other people. So I went the opposite way. I had probably close to a mental breakdown as it gets in the locker room at halftime. And I was freaked out, man. I was anxious, nervous. And you know, I kind of let myself at some point just acknowledge. I said, all right, let me get every negative thought I can out of my head. If this goes wrong, there's 100 million people watching. I'll be the wrong kind of go to this game. Everybody in New Orleans is going to hate me. My teammates, I'm gonna let them all down, blah, blah, blah. I was like, think of every negative thing I could. And I got it all out of my system. And then I was walking around pacing with my helmet on because I was a total spaz. Just, you know, keep my helmet on in the locker room and 23 years old. And I got this picture up of my old coach, Frank Gann Sr., who he used to talk about the more aggressive team normally wins. And I saw his picture and I said, well, shit, this is pretty effing aggressive right here. And I kind of relaxed for a second. And then I thought, you know, every time coach asked me to do this in practice, I hit it how I wanted. And I said, shit, if we get this, we're winning this game. Like, there's no doubt. And then, you know, I kind of like, so I let myself have the negative downfall, let it all out. And then I, you know, had a little positive. And then by the time I went out for halftime, you know, I was just jacked up, adrenaline flowing. And the worst part about it is you can't go out and practice it, right? Because you don't want anybody to know it's coming. So I'm like hitting kickoffs further than I've ever hit them in
Of course.
Right before halftime, you know, I'm talking shit to Pat McAfee saying, hey, tell your returner not to even bother going out there. I'm about to hammer this thing out the back of the end zone. You know, I'm playing the whole game with myself. And anyways, it was every emotion I think you could have. So.
Yeah, no, it's one of those moments that you look back on. I think that and the celebrating zero punts, you and Breeze pictures are two of the cooler moments. That's just start. You guys just like it kind of became a thing. I feel like
we kind of made it a thing. You know, I got Drew to take a picture with me after the first time we did that. Maybe not the first, maybe the second. So we had one early in my career. I don't think I asked him, but later in my career we did. And And then he started coming to find me after we do it again and again. I think we did it 6 or 7 times together. So, yeah, it definitely became a thing. And, you know, it's something definitely he would hang his hat on. That, you know, that, hey, listen, course. Every drive that we did today either was a, you know, hopefully was all points or a kneel down at the end of half or game. But, you know, we won all those games. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no. Hopefully this year you get to do one. You and Rodgers get to do one. It'll be a nice, you know, kind of montage of you know, zero post. Obviously, the last game I could think of where it happened was that Bills Pats game in the playoffs a couple years ago, where the Bills like scored a touchdown every single drive. Yeah. Do you obviously you spent last year in Miami. You spent the year before in New York and Atlanta and everything like that. What are you've been in New Orleans for a long time. Is it different playing in these different, I mean, all big cities, all very prideful fan bases? Do you notice a big difference in like, just like going to camp, going to these games with, you know, being in different environments? Obviously Florida's got its own animal and New York and New Orleans is its own as well.
Yeah. Everywhere is different. You know, I would say New York, the Jets team in particular it's a little closer to New Orleans fan base. It seems a little more blue collar, a little more rowdy, a little more alcohol at the games, you know, just it's a high energy, you know, somewhat irrational fan base that just loves their team and they're there every Sunday. And there's something fun about playing for, you know, fans like that. So yeah, I mean, every place has got their own little vibe, for sure. And, you know, I even like the two games that we won when I was in Jersey 2 years ago. Was against the Cincinnati Bengals and against the Tennessee Titans. One of them was the Mike White game. And I mean, it was some cool experiences to be a part of, you know, even though the team wasn't a playoff team at the time or a contending team, you know, it was fun to be a part of those experiences and you felt the energy from the fans. So it was really a cool thing.
Yeah. Well, who's got better food? I asked everybody this. JFM was trashing New York donuts and said that
you got better food than who?
Then New Orleans, New Orleans, Florida, I guess, and New York. I feel like New Orleans and New York.
Y'all,
are better.
You guys are gonna. I was gonna say New Orleans. It, you know, per capita, you will not find better food anywhere in the world, and that is that. You'll. I'm gonna try to prove myself wrong, but I cannot let. Based on my current, you know, I've been living down here for almost 15 years now. The food is second to none. So I'm gonna definitely find myself out and about trying to find some good restaurants while I'm up in Jersey.
Yeah, no, we gotta get you some, you know, some good bacon, egg and cheeses or Taylor ham, egg and cheese and the pizza and the bagels and all that.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, there we go. No, a couple, you know, other things here. You know, obviously, how'd you kind of get into being a punter? Like, were you a soccer player growing up? Kind of got into, like, how'd that kind of work?
Yeah, I was a soccer guy. My family's from England. I learned to kind of punt a little bit technical work from my uncle when I was 10 or 11 back in Lincolnshire in England on a vacation. But I was always I played goalie when I was really young. And I would do the punt, pass, and kick thing. That was every year I'd show up to the city park and try to do that. And, you know, I just fell in love with – I remember the first time I had a spiral that turned over. I was in 8th grade. It was in a game. I'd done it in practice a few times, but I hit one in a game. I was standing in the back of the end zone. This is 8th grade. You know, you're talking about getting a snap and a punt in 8th grade.
Not easy.
And I hit a 42-yard punt at the back of the end zone. That's turned over, spiraled and turned over. And it was the greatest thing I had ever seen. It was like, I can't explain it to you. You know, it'd be like somebody like, you know, out on the golf course, eagling, chipping in from like 120 yards. And it's like, you're never going to give golf up ever again. Like that happened for me. And, you know, I really struggled in high school. I had, you know, I was a late bloomer. I grew 16 inches in high school. It went from 5'0" to 90 pounds to 6'4", 182 by the time I left. So I doubled my weight in high school. So I really had a hard time competing in anything. And I went out for the football team again my senior year. And like slowly took over the positions. And then I thought it was over. And then, you know, some coaches were in the office talking about walking on. So I said, oh, that'd be cool. Maybe I could play on a Saturday one day. And so I walked on at SMU and discovered the weight room. And, you know, within a two and a half years, put on like 45 pounds and was, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 225. And, you know, that consistently from 18 to 23 years old, just committed in the weight room and ball just started going further and higher. And I technically had to be really good as a young player because I was so underdeveloped that I couldn't hang otherwise. So yeah. Then when I learned, most of the kids that get recruited are the really talented guys.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. Then they need to hone their technique in. And so it was a really unique path for me, but man, I wouldn't trade it. It was great. Walked on for a few years, ended up being on a full ride the last three seasons at SMU, and had a great experience, and it was great for building me into who I am. Kind of developed the callus and the toughness and that walk-on mentality. And honestly, you know, speaking, I've had a really, I mean, obviously had some disappointments in the league, but man, it's been a great run. I really had a lot of my mountains to climb and you know, early childhood and in college specifically. So,
yeah, no, it's look, it's been, you know, it's been obviously a fun journey, obviously hoping to add some more kind of things to it. You have a favorite soccer team? You still plugged in the soccer world or not too much?
Look, I keep up with Manchester United. That was when my dad moved to England, that was his first, he remembers going to Old Trafford for the first time back in like, I don't know, 1969, 1970. So, sorry, are you still seeing me there?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I got you.
There we go. So anyhow, I've always kind of followed that along with him, but I've never been a huge fan of particular teams. I do follow players in different sports that I'm fans of. And I think that's just because of me being a pro athlete. You develop relationships. And so you kind of follow the players more than you do the teams, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. Other sports, I mean, I'm a diehard Yankees guy and like Bayern Munich, but like soccer wise, outside of Bayern, like I like to just watch specific players and things of that nature.
Well, like, my boys happen to be big Mets fans.
All right, there we go. That'll make people happy, even though you know they're not doing well right now, but it's okay.
No, they're not, but they are excited to go see some Mets games. They love that team, so that's going to be something else they get to experience this year.
Yeah, we got to get you thrown out of first pitch. Do something. I'm going to tell Jared.
Hey, listen, if I play well enough that I'm throwing out a first pitch in New York, I feel pretty good about that. So hopefully that happens.
Do you ever look at, you know, you're talking about Pat Mac. Do you ever look at kind of how Pat's just like torpedoed and like become this like mega, you know, kind of media star? Do you ever like look at that and say like, hey, I want to kind of get into the media side of things, you know, post career? Or is it like good for him? Like, but at the same time, I want to spend more time with my family and stuff like that.
I'm probably more on the second there. I think there's some things that I would like to do and that I'd be good at doing, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, my kids still like me. So I try to spend as much time as I can with them. And, you know, I may get behind the eight ball on some other things that I want to do or could be good at, but I'm not worried about, you know, timing that up. And
YouTube shows aren't in your future.
I'm just gonna max this sucker out while I can playing, and we'll see what happens from there.
Last two things here. You kind of mentioned, you know, talking a little trash and things like that. Is there any guys, like, I'm obviously, you know, you'll see during camp and things like that, but is there any guys you're kind of excited to see? Like, is a guy like Sauce Gardner, like a lot of the trash talking he does social media wise, and
I don't even keep up with it, so I got no clue. I'm showing up a blank slate.
There we go. Yeah, it's honestly smart. Honestly, better that way. Is there any last question here? I mean, I'm sure I can't imagine there's too many stadiums you have not played in yet. That said, is there any games this year? I know every game, you know, cliche. Obviously, every game's different. But is there any stadiums or kind of games you have circled in terms of matchups or?
I've got a ton of them circled.
Set yeah, Vegas and Dallas always feel like the two games that. From a road perspective to travel to, obviously being from Texas, things like that. Right. Yeah, I have to imagine that game.
We spend a lot of time in Colorado. My brother lives out there. I'm looking forward to Denver, Sean Payton.
I was gonna say Mike West. Yeah, I was gonna say
all those guys. So that's one. The Chiefs, I've never beaten the Chiefs in my career. That and the Saints. The only two teams that I don't have a win against. So that'll be obviously Sunday Night Football big time. Different players that I'm friends with on different teams. I mean, kicking off season, like two New York teams, 9-11. That doesn't get better than that. That's so cool. I'm sure they'll do something special with that. Yeah, I mean, going to Dallas, I went to SMU, got a ton of friends there. We're playing the Eagles, NFC champs last year. Chargers, my buddy's their kicker. Really close friend of mine, Dustin Hopkins. Falcons, played for them. Get to see Coach Arthur Smith.
I was going to say, I'm sure against Miami and Atlanta, you want to hit some bombs.
Yeah, well, I just want to do my job and hopefully I'm not the story. I mean, I'll look forward to compete against those guys. And, you know, there's so many now that I've played on different teams now that's got a lot of connections. So,
yeah, I was going to say it's probably a little easier when you're in one spot. But, no, we obviously appreciate you taking some time. I know you're doing a little bit of traveling now before you get back here for camp. But appreciate you taking some time. Obviously, best of luck. And hopefully we'll do it again. Maybe we'll do something at the Pro Bowl. And, you know, you won't actually be participating because you'll be playing the Super Bowl. You know, that's how we'll
if that happens, we're doing it for sure, 100%.